Coming up on the My Ag Life Daily News Report, we learn about a new scholarship opportunity for prospective crop advisors. And we have today's news brief. I'm your host, Sabrina Halverson. We start today with a special interview. JCS Marketing CEO Jason Scott interviewing J.W. Lemons. The first question, J.W., give us your official title.
I'm an agronomist. I'm a certified professional agronomist. I've served as a national agronomist for all the United States and Canada, as well as concentrated on the Western Coast as the Western Regional Agronomist for in the past. Right now, I'm a private consultant. I own my own consulting firm, JW Agronomics. We call it JWAG. The JW Lemons, JW is just stands for just wonderful. That's what my wife says, so I'm going to stick to it. That's kind of who I am. I've been in agriculture a long time. I started being foreman of three ranches when I was 14 years old, so it's kind of in my blood.
Well, today JW is joining us, and we're talking about a very important topic that is ongoing for the farming community, and that's the topic of soil. And within the topic of soil, we're talking about regenerative agriculture and how we can be better stewards of that process. And so, JW, why don't you kick us off and give us a real quick overview of why that is so important to us as farmers?
Absolutely, Jason. Dating myself and going back when I was a young man, as a kid, getting into agriculture, I was brought up around an agriculture family, and I can remember my grandpa always taking me out in the garden and going, "Hey, Hoss," you know, one of the many nicknames he threw at me, "come and smell this soil. This is sweet soil. And look at all those earthworms. That means the soil is happy, and that means I'm going to have a good garden this year." And this 20-some-year-old kid becoming a professional ag consultant, I started way back then with my farmers doing the same thing, picking up the soil, smelling it. You can tell if a soil is sweet or sour, or there's a lot of things, and that gets into a whole new realm that we won't go into, but a good smelling soil is a healthy soil. You just know when you pick it up, when you can feel it and feel it crumble in your fingers, and it's pliable. You can know that moisture is getting in there, and moisture is getting into that soil, so are the nutrients that the plants need. Regenerative ag is nothing new. It's not a brand new concept. We've always needed it. We've always tried to be stewards of the land and conservationists and prevent erosion, prevent the changing of the pH into acidity in the soils, overburdening our soils with too many salts, fertilizers. The salinity has now become a huge problem. So I think the big push in agriculture is to address that issue. What do we do? What can we do as managers, as consultants, to bring that health back? There are so many numerous new products and biologicals and mycorrhizae and biostimulants and all the things that we all wish we would have had back in the day are all available now. Many of the great companies out there have come up with products that they can add to the soil. They can stimulate the roots so that the roots are picking up the nutrients in the soil that are locked in there or have been locked in there and weren't necessarily available before. Making the soil alive. I've listened to a couple of other folks speak recently in webinars. Exciting to hear people talk about what's in your soil. Why does that make a difference in our fertilizer, in what we're putting in the ground?
Let's talk about making a difference, JW. What are some of the top three or four things growers and crop consultants can do to increase their soil and promote regenerative ag in their farming operations?
There's a few really good key elements that they should be addressing. And one is getting organic matter or carbon back into the soil. And again, there's numerous methods to do that. You can use soil amendments, animal waste, plant byproduct waste. There's so many different ways to get it back in there. Even the residue or residual from our crops can be ground up and reintroduced to the soil so that the living organisms in the soil have something to feed on. If you're putting that food source in there, then the microorganisms have something to feed on. The more activity that is in that soil, the more release of nutrients plant. They have this great relationship when you have these living organisms in there, and they can feed the plant. Depends on them to break these nutrients down into a form where they're usable by the plant. They come up through the roots. Some of the relationship between the microorganisms and the root itself are critical. They're critical for that plant to even be able to take up fertilizer we're adding. So knowing that and putting all of this stuff back into the soil and the effort back into the soil, we're also doing a secondary project right there and not even thinking about it. We're able to make that soil healthy and release nutrients that are trapped in that soil, make them available to the plant. It's likely and makes really good sense and been proven by science and research across this nation and across the world that we can reduce the amount that we're putting down. We can reduce that nitrogen. And how is that important? Well, we're in California, and we know the nitrates in the water system are a huge issue. So as stewards of the land, if we can better utilize that nitrogen and we can reduce the input and still come up with the same crop quality and crop quantity that we're looking for, the yields we're looking for, then it's a win-win situation for everybody.
We continue with the interview right after this.
Having problems with nematodes? Promax is your number one solution. Promax is a powerful fungicide and nematicide that works to kill and control nematodes and soil-borne disease. Promax is a powerful and easy-to-use product in your fields. WaterRight Technologies is your source for this powerful solution. Visit WRTAG.com/Promax for more information. The My Ag Life Daily News Report is brought to you in part by the California Walnut Board.
Welcome back. JCS Marketing CEO Jason Scott is talking with J.W. Lemons.
So I have a question. A lot of farmers, you know, get to this point and there's some confusion on how to sort out what the best products and what the best strategies are. What advice would you give a farmer kind of struggling to kind of sort these types of things out? What advice would you give them?
Well, right now, and I realize that we're in the situation of COVID, which puts us all behind our computer screens a lot more than we would like to be. Most of us would like to be out there kicking dirt clods, but we do, and that's what we get paid for, is being in those orchards and on those farms, helping grow things. But what has done is introduced more media, more things like this, where we can all sit down and visit from our desktop, learn. I've enjoyed and involved myself in more webinars this past year than I think I've ever attended in my life. And there's great information out there. There are some real critical key research has been done, things that we never really discussed or talked about before. Our amino acids, adding them back into the soil, what does that do? our biologicals. When we talk about biologicals, what exactly are we talking about? An organic product that we're putting back into the soil, or something that could build carbon in the soil, something that's going to add microorganisms in the soil, mycorrhizae, bacillus, beneficial bacteria. All of these things are available now. I think it's key. So many of us as consultants are studying this, and we're on the cutting edge of introducing it to our farmers and our growers out there in the field. The biggest thing is to ask, because I'll guarantee you, you'll find a CCA someplace, Certified Crop Advisor, a good PCA that's in tune with crop advising, and they're attending these courses, and they're learning these new technologies, and they're more than willing to introduce them to you, give you the facts. Just sat with a company this week and discussed their new technology. It's phenomenal. A lot of us think about putting animal waste onto our farm or our orchard directly from a composting bin. And now there are processes that will actually create a final product that can be dissolved in water, and it all bases off of like chicken manure. Where all of a sudden we have something that we can add biological to the soil that's been proven to reduce the amount of fertilizer we needed, to open the soil back up, allow it to breathe, and allow it to percolate water into it. So all these new technologies, there's something to discover every single week.
Let's talk a little bit about cover crops. Why is that important?
Cover crops have always been important. Even back when I was a teenager and farming various orchards, cherries and pears and peaches and apples, you name it, the orchards that had good cover crops that were well-maintained were healthier. That was just the status quo. The orchards that I worked on that thought that they could save themselves money by not having to mow very often, they thought that the weeds and the grass that were used as cover crop were hosts to pests, made it harder to farm more. We had to spray more. And I don't believe that is true at all, because I think with the new science and studying it, and the local universities can test to this, because they're doing numerous trials right now and test models out there in the various orchards and farms. Crops are important to the soil because, once again, we're reintroducing that carbon into the soil, more root base in there, more root structure. And we mow at a critical time before it can all seed out and spread. We can keep it still, a nice, clean orchard, have that area down through the center that's not so compacted and dried out and cracked that we lose all the moisture out of our root. It's just better for the tractors and the equipment. There's less compaction. Less compaction, we get more water into the roots. Roots spread out further. They're not isolated and narrowed down to just the rows that they're planted in. They'll reach out now because there's water moving down in there, and they'll take advantage of nutrients that are already in the soil. Maybe some nutrients that we've been putting in there for the last 10 years and just have never really captured those. Have this opportunity out in the middle of the rows for go out there and seek out moisture, seek out additional nutrition.
How about runoff? What do we need to know about runoff?
Erosion control, so imperative when you, especially if you've gotten yourself into a compacted situation where you're not doing cover crops and there's no perk, there's no infiltration of the water into the soil, it'll tend to pool up on the surface, run off as quick as you can put it on. And if you have a big rain event, rather than capturing that rain, utilizing it to your benefit for your crop, it's all going to go to the downhill side. And the volume has a lot to do with it. The speed and velocity has a lot to do with it. But it doesn't just carry your great topsoil. It carries your nutrients with it as well. And once that reaches the end, we try to capture it on our farms. Capture basins and our systems are set up. But now we've got all of this water down at the ends of our rows, carrying everything that we've put on for all these years with it, including our soil. And that's just going to end up taking off that top layer of soil that maybe a lot of that microorganism could take place in, that new health of the soil could take place. So erosion control is always something we have to watch out for, especially with our water bodies. We fill up our roadside ditches, we fill up our rivers, we fill up our storage facilities, all of our canals, anything that holds water, transports water, we can fill it up with sediment, and that's negative for all of us. Right now, we don't have enough reservoirs in the state to supplement the continuing demand on water. That's my own personal belief. Everybody has theirs. I'll say that one out loud. I think we need more. We need them better maintained. And if we have erosion control, then less and less sediment and soil are flowing into those, that reduces our holding capacity for our reservoirs to depend on later on in the year.
Great, great. Well, any final thoughts?
Keep asking questions. There are so many new technologies out there, so many great publications. Read. You know, I'm a writer, so I tell people to read all the time, whether it's electronic or whether it's paper. Pick it up and read it. Turn it on and read it, and educate yourself. If you just sit in the dark and wait for it to happen, you can't learn.
Absolutely. All right. Well, any other thoughts or things that we may have missed that you wanted to include, JW?
I think that's just the scratching the surface. I think that farmers are going to find that if they do some of these things, there are quantitative ways to look into them. And maybe for a future topic, we can talk about carbon sequestration, getting carbon credits in your farm that can be sold. That's it's income. There are large corporations, the large food companies, all gaining more and more interest. I just heard Microsoft bought another bunch of carbon credits from Midwest farmers. And it's going to help with this whole off-gassing CO2 coming out of the soil. The more carbon we have in there, the more we trap CO2 in the soil, and the less of this global warming we get. So that's one of the things that land stewards can do that help control some of the changes.
This is Jason Scott reporting for My Ag Life.
Your news brief is coming up next. We'll be right back.
Agrimiora Nursery is the premier nursery in California. Whether it's almonds, walnuts, pistachios, prunes, or olives, Agrimiora has been the grower's source for over 20 years and is the home of Rootpack R Almond, Grizzly Walnut, and the North American plants UCB1 and Platinum Clonal Pistachio Rootstocks. As the worldwide leader in super high-density almonds, olives, and prunes, Agrimiora can show you how to cut costs and increase yields with their super high-density rootstock Rootpack 20. For more information or to schedule a site visit, contact a representative at 530-812-3398 today.
My Ag Life, calendar of events. Here's Taylor Chalstrom with what's happening around the state.
On April 19th, we have advances in grapevine production short course, session 1. On April 20th, we have Almond Board Training Tuesday, Part 8, Naval Orangeworm Best Management Practices. On April 21st, we have 2021 Tree and Vine IPM Update Breakfast Meetings, Weed Control in Trees and Vines. And on April 22nd, we have the Organic Fertilizer Association's California April Webinar. Check out those events at myaglife.com. And don't forget that registration is now open for the 2021 Almond Day, hosted by West Coast Nut on June 15th, 2021. It's going to be a virtual event with CEU credits offered.
Get more details at myaglife.com.
Here's your news brief for today. A trade group in the fruit and vegetable industry is unhappy with the USDA's decision to cancel the Farmers to Family food box distribution program. United Fresh says millions of Americans gained access to healthy, fresh produce throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, calling the decision by Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack short-sighted. The group says comments disparaging the program were a slap in the face to the thousands of volunteers, nonprofits, regional food distributors, and farmers who work together in communities across the country to deliver healthy foods to people in their time of great need. What is the likely reason for dairy price increases? Stephanie Ho looks into it.
USDA raised its price forecast for dairy products across the board.
This largely is reflecting kind of a rebound in food service demand as the economy starts to reopen and restaurants and food service and hotels start to see an increase in their business. Cheese and butter products in particular, heavily used by the food service industry.
That was World Ag Outlook Board Chair Mark Jackanowski.
On the dry side of things, so non-fat dry milk and dry whey, we increased our prices for those as well because it's just the prices there are being supported by international demand, strong export demand for those products.
USDA raised its price expectations for Class 3 and Class 4 milk.
All milk price forecast we raised this month by 65 cents per hundredweight, and that would be up just fractionally from last year, nearly equal to last year.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says the USDA is only days away from announcing greater opportunities for landowners to take fragile farmland out of production in exchange for a payment. A successful farming article says the Biden administration is looking for ways to halt a 13-year decline in the number of signups under the Conservation Reserve Program, the largest land set-aside program in the country. Vilsack recently told the Illinois Public Radio that the CRP could play a role in the President Biden's plan to make American agriculture the first in the world to get to net zero greenhouse gas emissions. Approximately 20.8 million acres are enrolled in the Conservation Reserve Program, with contracts on 3 million acres set to expire on September 30th. President Joe Biden's infrastructure plan, the American Jobs Plan, has quite a bit in it for rural residents and farmers, he says. Gary Crawford takes a look in this edition of Agriculture USA.
Today, I want to talk about the American Jobs Plan.
President Biden, a few days ago, unveiling his American Jobs Plan, which some are calling his infrastructure plan, is being looked at and analyzed, debated, criticized, and praised. It's a $2 trillion comprehensive proposal. It would affect everybody everywhere in some way or other. But coming up, we'll take a look at a couple of ways the plan might affect rural residents and Agriculture USA. I'm Gary Crawford.
Millions of Americans, though, lack access to reliable high-speed internet, including more than 35% of rural America.
And so President Biden says one major objective of his plan:
make sure every single American has access to high-quality, affordable, high-speed internet.
And we have been putting this off for far too long.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack told us there's a big connectivity gap between those in urban and suburban America and those in rural areas of the country.
First of all, there are very remote places that don't really have meaningful access to broadband. And then there are places in rural America that have access, but the speed of the internet connectivity and so forth is not what it needs to be. The president's plan basically says, look, if we're going to be serious about economic opportunity in all parts of the country, if we're going to be serious about equity and making sure that persistently poor areas of the country are brought up to speed, we're going to have to invest in the broadband that gives people the same advantage regardless of where they live, which means high-speed access. For some communities, that can be 5G. It can be wireless. For some communities, it may require fiber.
But no matter the form of broadband, Vilsack says for rural students, business people, healthcare workers, for everyone's sake.
We have to be serious about this, and we have to invest serious resources in this effort.
What kind of serious resources?
It's going to take tens of billions of dollars, as the president's plan outlines.
About $100 billion over the next 7 years to electronically connect rural residents with the rest of the world. But what about physically connecting with the world? The president says his American Jobs plan
modernizes transportation infrastructure
with a program to repair, replace, and upgrade the country's inadequate, outdated, deteriorating roads, bridges, ports, airports, and waterways.
It makes it easier and more efficient to move goods and to make us more competitive around the world.
This transportation investment, critically important.
Especially for the nation's food and farm industries. Secretary Vilsack told us that right now, of course, as we speak,
there are bridges that are collapsing, there are roads that are in disrepair, there are rail systems that aren't as efficient, ports, inland waterways that need some serious investment.
Investment that he says would benefit every aspect of the U.S. economy, including, of course, the agricultural economy.
The advantage we have in markets around the world for our agricultural products, in part, is a result that we can get our crops to market more quickly and more efficiently and less expensively because we have a better transportation system.
But he says if we don't invest in that crumbling system and invest soon,
if we don't modernize our ports, if we don't repair our locks and dams, if we don't improve our highways, we will lose that advantage. And once it's lost, it's very difficult to get back.
And meanwhile,
we're seeing other countries investing very significant sums in improving their transportation systems,
including China.
And we cannot let the Chinese have an advantage in infrastructure. We just have to catch up, and we have to exceed what's being done around the world.
The Biden plan would spend about $621 billion on so-called gray infrastructure, roads, bridges, waterways, and such. But Vilsack says the plan goes farther than that.
The president understands and appreciates that there are natural resources that require investment. Whether it's our soil health or whether it's the quality of our water, it's necessary that we also invest in that natural infrastructure, because that natural infrastructure is sort of the gateway to responding to a changing climate, to mitigating the consequences of warming temperatures.
But in doing that, Vilsack says for rural areas, for farmers, it would create
a new set of revenue streams, new income opportunities for farmers, utilizing their land to sequester carbon, capturing methane and converting it into a wide variety of energy and fuel opportunities, converting agricultural waste into a multitude of materials. You can't do that unless you have the investment in the conservation programs, in the research and development, in advanced biofuels. All of that is included in the American Jobs Plan.
As Vilsack puts it,
it's an inspiring opportunity, frankly, for rural America.
President Biden said if it's passed by Congress,
it will create millions of jobs
and millions of new opportunities
for American workers and American farmers.
So we'll see what happens to this plan over the next few months. There's a lot in it for analysts and lawmakers to look at and consider. Experts do say that in its current form, at least, there are many things in it that would benefit rural residents and businesses and Agriculture USA. I'm Gary Crawford, reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
That's your news for today. When we come back, we learn about a scholarship opportunity. We'll be right back.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
Welcome back. If you're a college student or if you know one, listen up. There's a scholarship opportunity for you. And there's also something for faculty. To get the details, I'm talking with Carl Wyant of Helier Agriculture.
Let's start off with your name and your title.
Sure. My name is Dr. Carl Wyant. I'm the Vice President of Ag Science at Helier Agriculture. And I am also the Vice Chairman of the Western Region Certified Crop Advisor Executive Board.
All right. And you want to tell us about a scholarship opportunity that you are now taking applications for. What is the scholarship?
Yeah, great question. So we're very excited to announce our second year of scholarships. And these are scholarships that are aimed at undergraduate students. And we also have an opportunity to provide honorariums to the faculty that are teaching ag courses in the ag classroom. So our scholarship program, we started it last year, and this scholarship program is aimed at four regions that entail the Western Region CCA program, and it's the desert, and that's, I think, Phoenix in that area, all the way into San Diego and in the Inland Empire. We have the coast, which is Oxnard up to the north coast and around Napa Valley. And then we have the Central Valley split into two. We have the Northern Valley, which is Merced North all the way to Redding. And then we have the South Valley that covers Merced South to the Bakersfield area.
Let's talk about both of these. Let's starting with the scholarship. Who should apply for the scholarship and what do you look for in the applications?
Yeah, the scholarship, as I mentioned it before, it's for the undergraduates that are pursuing agricultural majors. And what we're looking for is an undergraduate student that has their goal set to work in the ag industry and to work as a crop advisor. So a natural extension of that desire is to become a certified crop advisor, and that's where our program comes into place. So we're really targeting those students that are just about to finish up their coursework and move on into industry, and that they want to become a certified crop advisor. So that's a great way to get in and provide an opportunity for us to recognize those efforts. And the effort we're recognizing is across these four different regions: the desert, the coast, and then the North Valley and the South Valley. You know, this is $1,000 scholarship for each region. So we have a lot of great agriculture out west, a lot of different subregions, and we're recognizing that diversity, and we're providing that $1,000 scholarship to help those students out.
I really like that because California and the area, Phoenix too, Arizona, is so diverse in agriculture. So it's nice that it is broken up by region because there are different, you know, just so many differences between the different areas. Was it the same way last year?
Yeah, same approach last year, and we were very successful in our inaugural year, despite, you know, COVID restrictions and whatnot, trying to get in the way, but we got around that, and we were able to launch our program. This Western Region CCA scholarship is named after Alan Romander, who is a gentleman who unfortunately passed away, but he was instrumental in putting our certified crop advisor program on the map and recruiting and getting the word out about the benefits of having a certified crop advisor in your operation for a farmer. And what we're asking our student applicants to do is, it's the traditional sort of scholarship opportunity where you describe your coursework, year in school, GPA, major, that sort of thing. Describe awards, describe leadership involvement, describe your professional commitment to agriculture. So a lot of our students have work histories that they can provide, where they've been an intern or they've worked on a farm before. And then we also would like them to be, just describe their pathway into becoming a certified crop advisor. And that usually involves preparing for the exams. And there's plenty of opportunities now to take the exams, even as a student in college finishing up, and to enter the certified crop advisor pathway in a much, much earlier than we've had before.
I searched through and found last year's winners, and it looked like it was a very successful program despite the challenges that you probably faced because of COVID. Everybody had challenges, and then it was starting a new scholarship program. I was very impressed, actually, that you guys were able to do that, and it looked like it went really well.
Yeah, we fortunately had very, very cooperative applicants that were able to provide us the materials, and they were comfortable using an online submission process. If you'd like to apply, you can apply at wrcca.org. And if you look on the awards and scholarships tab, it'll open up the online application so that there's no endless paperwork or anything to fill out. It's all online, and we handle it all electronically. That certainly made it easier, and it's going to continue to make things easier this year. One piece that we'll do for the student when they get selected for this award is we actually honor you publicly, and we have a crop consultant conference coming up in September where we will publicly recognize your award and recognize all the excellent work they're doing. So it's an exciting opportunity for the industry to see the next crop of leaders and next group of crop advisors, and it's an opportunity for that student to feel recognized about all their hard work.
So what about faculty and staff?
Yeah, this I think makes our program super unique. We're not only recognizing the hard work of the students, but we're taking it one level higher and we're recognizing the hard work of those faculty mentors that are so important for recruiting new people, new faces into the agricultural industry. And we're recognizing that the efforts of those folks that are so crucial for that initial training, all that initial teaching that has to occur for a student to prepare for a career in agriculture. So we have four awards, and they follow the same regional scope: desert, coast, North Valley, and South Valley. And we're recognizing those faculty members that are at junior colleges, community college, technical colleges, all the way up to the university level. And we're recognizing those faculty and teachers that are so critical for that training and for that initial experience our students are having.
Do they apply at the same place online, or where do they apply?
The faculty can apply for the $500 honorarium that's available, and you can apply at wrcca.org, click on that awards and scholarships tab, and it'll take you straight to that application. It's online, just like the student scholarship is.
All right. Is there anything else?
Yeah, the faculty will also be recognized at the 2021 Crop Consultant Conference.
Nice. All right. Anything else that we should let our listeners know about?
Yes, please. If you have a student or a faculty member that you're friends with and want to see their efforts recognized, please let them know about the scholarship and honorarium program. The applications are due May 14th, so it's creeping up on us. We've already had a really good showing, much, much bigger than our initial year last year, but it is coming up May 14th. And we strongly encourage folks to apply now until they avoid the May 13th at 10 p.m. rush that might happen.
That reminds me of being a college student. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've all been there before.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for your time, Carl. I appreciate it.
No problem. See you in the next time.
That's our show for today. Don't forget to nominate a Farmer of the Week at myaglife.com. Click on Daily News, then nominate a farmer. And while you're there, check out the new events calendar. This has been the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Sabrina Halverson from the JCS Marketing Team. Thanks for listening.